Gentlemen, I'm very pleased to welcome you to the fifth session of the Working Party on Public-Private Partnerships. For the second consecutive year, we're meeting in this hybrid format. Nobody likes it, but it's a new reality we have to adjust to, and I'm pleased to say that we've been able to operate despite all the restrictions, and I'm very appreciative of all the efforts made to make this meeting possible in this format. However, the pandemic has not just uprooted the way we work, it has more importantly change the way the economies work and the societies function. This is the second year of the pandemic, and we are ending it with renewed hope that the worst is behind us, even though I'm not sure, given the last weekend's developments, and that the recovery is our opportunity to stimulate and revive. As a UN Secretary General put it, reignite the decade of action for sustainable development goals. Ultimately, all we do is there to help countries of the pan-European region achieve the Agenda 2030 and the Sustainable Development Goals. We need to chart a path for a more equitable future that encompasses green, circular, inclusive, resilient, and fiscally sustainable infrastructure and public services as part of this priority, this imperative to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. Infrastructure is a key element of this. Infrastructure is about bettering the lives of peoples and communities. This is what we focus on here. The UN Charter, at 76 years, reminds us that all that the UN does is about people. We the people are the beginning words of the Charter. People are and should be the first beneficiaries of all infrastructure and public services. And our work on public-private partnerships is precisely about this, is about people first. We need to improve project delivery. We need to improve national legal frameworks in our member states to ensure that infrastructure projects are consistent with the Sustainable Development Goals and serve the people, including economically and socially disadvantaged. Second element of what is in front of us is sustainable finance, coupled with boosting partnerships. These are actually two of the 12 commitments by the international community at the 75th anniversary commemoration of the United Nations in 2020. I see that this working party is an ideal vehicle to deliver practical tools in these areas for use by our member states in the pan-European region, in particular in countries with economies in transition. Let's take sustainable finance. We live in a time of rapid changes in the financing market, where lenders and investors are moving away from traditional sectors, such as oil and gas, into sustainable sectors. The financing market of 5-6 years from now is going to be completely different from what it is today. What is the driving trend towards sustainable finance? Actually, the driving trend are the people themselves, especially the younger generations that are becoming more and more influential as investors and as minority shareholders of major banks and corporations, as well as clients that are insisting on new greener modes of production and consumption. And the private sector will be leading the financing world. Already today, infrastructure lending by the multilateral development banks only amounts to around 10% of the global infrastructure finance. The rest is coming from private finance and still a small part from governments. Our governments need already today to adapt by integrating what the private sector has begun to do, by integrating sustainability into their projects at the design stage, to ensure that when the projects are mature enough and go to the market a few years down the line, they can attract interest from the private sector providers, which play such a vital role in mobilizing finance for the SDGs. Let me once again maybe reiterate this. If the private sector is shifting to much greener financing models already today and is going to be the major source of financing, it is up to the government to adapt very quickly, simply because projects do take a few years to materialize. This brings me to what can we do? One very specific contribution that this working party can make to this is the evaluation methodology, which the working party had the foresight to develop precisely to help governments to improve their projects at the early stage of preparation and make sure that the projects of the future are sustainable. I very much encourage you to endorse and use this methodology that promotes people-first projects for the Sustainable Development Goals. What type of projects are we talking about? Typically, these are projects that increase access to critical services of the underserved or unserved groups and promote social justice. Projects that are economically effective, fiscally sound, and empower women and involve women-led companies in the projects themselves. The gender dimension will be increasingly important. Projects that are environmentally sustainable and resilient and take into account the very important guidance we have all received from the deliberations in Glasgow at the COP26. Projects that are replicable and scalable in their impact, and finally, projects that fully engage with stakeholders inside the communities where they take place. What sectors will such projects likely cover, such people-first oriented projects likely cover? Healthcare, food security, waste management, water and sanitation, education, renewable energy, jobs and innovation that are contributing to circular economy processes and the sustainable use of natural resources. This will mean that these projects will, in very practical terms, develop access to healthcare in communities that do not have it, provide improved internet connectivity, develop circular economy approaches that apply reuse, recycle, and reduce principles, but also introduce new principles of design of products, boost jobs for vulnerable communities by creating startups, and boosting startup ecosystem is another important area for ECE taken by the innovation team in the Economic and Trade Division. All these projects should not be independent or separate from each other. Rather, the challenge, especially at the local level, and this is where we have, as UNICE, an obligation to also interact with our colleagues in the UN country teams, with the UN agencies present on the ground. So at the local level, we do need to integrate this work. It is imperative that multiple public-private partnerships that are happening in the countries of the ECE region are looked at holistically, and that we make sure that local communities can benefit from them to the maximum. It is about skill building, it's about capacities of national and local governments, and about improved coordination. Some of these very important elements are still in the making in several countries in our region, and this is where the normative work of the UNECE, including under this working party, will be important. Speaking of the normative and the legal and regulatory frameworks, the working party also has before it a people-first PPP concessional model law, which will be the first, first such model law in the UN framework, and we hope that this work can be finalized within this session. Last but not least, you all know that the 69th session of the European Commission for Europe that took place this April emphasized the need to focus on circular economy and sustainable use of natural resources. Our member states clearly sent a signal that UNECE will be helping countries in the region promote circular economy approaches. I really hope that the Working Party can make its important contribution, given the potential to scale up circular approaches through smart, people-first, and sustainable public-private partnerships going forward. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's meeting and in the next few days. I wish you great success in delivering the objectives of the Working Party and in developing a valuable and dynamic follow-up, and I think I will be coming back to you to moderate the first session just in a minute.